First Kings chapter 15, if you will. First Kings chapter 15, if you have your Bible, open it there. Couple other things I think I mentioned this morning. If I didn't, I should have. Pray for Brother Pike's family. His uncle did pass away this past week, and so remember them in prayer. We're glad to know he was saved, trusted the Lord, and he's in heaven tonight, so that's a good thing. Then you might pray for Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington. They're voting tonight on a pastor who candidated, so they're voting tonight. I'm praying for them to get them a pastor. It's not good for churches to go length of time without a pastor, and so I hope you'll pray for them. They'll be able to call them a pastor, and they need that leadership, so do pray for them if you would. So don't forget that. By the way, I did talk to a possible associate for here, and I talked to one this week, told him, I said, not only want it if God's in it. So I hope you'll pray. If God be in it, he will guide and direct in that. And so said, who is it that matter? It may not be. He's had other folks talk to him, and so he said nothing yet. I said, well, that's because you hadn't talked to me. But you pray about that if you would. If it's God's will, the Lord worked that out. All right. First Kings chapter 15, verse 16. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Beth-Makkah, and all Cinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard thereof that he left off building of Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament. I have since I was a kid. Some of it is because I like stories where there's action and adventure, and I've always enjoyed the accounts in the Word of God where God does amazing things for his people. But I love to read that Old Testament. The Old Testament's given, the Bible said, for our example. It's there to help us. It's there to teach us. And I believe if there's one thing you can learn from the Old Testament, it's how easy it can be for one who is doing right to go wrong. How easy it is to do that. Now, we live in the modern, what we call the modern times. We like to think, well, hey, I've got a good pattern established in my life of doing right. I've got a good pattern of obeying the Lord. And, I'm used to that. So it'll be difficult for me to get off track. But the truth is, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further. David said this in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, there's but a step between me and death. Now, he was running from Saul at the time, but he understood how simple it is for one wrong step to lead to disaster. And so it's true. We come to this passage of Scripture, And last week I spoke to you about how the Bible tells us that Asa, who was the king of Judah, the Bible said his heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. You think about that, you think, a man, here's a man that's got things right. He's established the right pattern. He's the king. God's given him the throne. He reigned, like 41 years, and God blessed him. You think, well, he's got it right. But here in the scriptures, we see how quickly he misstepped. How quickly he did something that was wrong. I mean, at one point in his life, he did what multitudes of people have done since that day. He gave in to temptation because of troubles. Because of troubles that he was enduring. You and I are going to endure troubles. We're going to run into problems. We're going to be met with circumstances. We're going to be met with problems. We're going to think, man, what am I going to do? How can I deal with this? What's the right thing to do? Well, I want to help you tonight and just give you some warning, all right, to prepare you. We can learn from Asa. We can learn something from him tonight. Just a very simple message. First of all, I want you to see this. He was tempted when conditions looked bad. He was tempted when conditions looked bad. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might not suffer any to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. He was blockading, if you will, Asa and the nation of Judah. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 16, there was war between Asa and Baasha all their days. All right? Judah and Israel. All of them God's people. But there was war between them, all right? And when conditions got where they were looking bad, Asa made a decision. He was tempted because the conditions looked bad. It is absolutely amazing to me how easily God's people lose faith because of the conditions or the circumstances they encounter. We run into something. And here we are, we've trusted God, we've walked with God, we've known the Lord. We're not novice Christians, we're not new Christians, been saved for years, and we know what it is to follow the Lord and have faith in Him and trust Him. But we run into something, and boy, how quickly we lose faith in God. How quickly we forget who's got us where we are. Who's kept us? Who's provided for us? Instead of going to that, we see what Asa did in verse 18. Now, I'm not going to read verse 18 and 19 again, but I will refer to them. He decided he took all the gold and the silver, everything that was left in the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, gave them to his servant, said, "You go to the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and tell him I want to make a league with him." And the idea was he turned to man for help before he even thought about God. He turned to man. Now, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go in this Psalms 108. Psalms 108. Psalm 108. Now, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible at the heading of Psalms 108 says it's a song or a psalm of David. Sure, say that. Okay, now did Asa know David? Yeah. He was a direct descendant of King David. Direct descendant of King David. Well, I want you to look at verse 12. Psalm 108. Here's the psalmist David. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Here's the psalmist understanding that if you need help, you go to God. You go to God when you need help. Now, these words had already been written. They weren't hidden. I believe Asa had access to them. I believe that. I mean, this is 20 or so years after David. Oh, it's more than that. It's 30, 35 years maybe after David had died. Maybe even more. Those words were there. They were available. They should have been valued by a descendant of David. And he should have had access to them. But boy, he ignored that verse, didn't he? But how often do we do the same thing? Hey, Asa didn't turn to God. He didn't even turn to a godly man. Asa turned to a heathen king for help. He looked. He said, "We need your help." He said, "What we're going to do, we want to make a league between us and you." Hey, that's condemned by God. God calls that in the New Testament unequal yoke. He said, we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We're just not to have that unequal yoke. And it ought not to have been. But here's Asa goes to that heathen king. You and I, we're not to yoke up with the ungodly, the lost, in order. You say, well, I got a good goal. Doesn't matter what the goal is. You don't do the wrong thing to do the right thing. Who was it? I think Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. And that's true. And I tell you, that's true today. He said, well, wait a minute, how did it happen? Remember what I said? He got tempted because he had trouble. Hey, when everything's going along okay, we as God's people usually don't have problems staying with our faith and serving God. We're okay. But man, all of a sudden this condition comes up. All of a sudden this circumstance comes up. And we think, boy, I got to do something. And I got to do something quick. And we get tempted because of that situation. And here we are, we know we need help, but what we do is we do the wrong thing. We turn to man. We don't turn to God. We don't go to God with our petition. We don't go to God with our need. And I believe part of that is because we know God operates on His timetable. But we don't like God's timetable. I used to have, when I went to North Texas State University, I had a history professor who was lost as lost could be. But he understood some truths about young people in that day. And he would make this statement. He would say, here's the way y'all are. I want what I want when I want it now. Of course, now young people are not like that anymore. Oh, yes, they are. Hey, but it's not just young people afflicted that way. I want it, but I want it right now. And sometimes I think we as God's people, we think about the Lord, and we think, well, He doesn't operate on my time schedule. So I need to find somebody that will operate on my time schedule. See, Asa figured he was in trouble. Baasha was already building the city of Ramah. He was going to close him off. And he said, I've got to do something. I've got to do it now. I can't afford to wait. Can't afford to wait. Hey, you be careful when you get impatient in life. You be real careful when you get impatient in life. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Asa didn't want to do that. So what he did, he said, you know, it seems to me it'll just be easier to buy help than to ask God for it. That's what he did. He said, I'll buy the help I need. Let me give you a New Testament verse. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 tonight. Mark chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 24. Mark chapter 10 and verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Boy, if there's one thing today people want to trust in, it's riches. If I can just get enough money, If I can just lay hands on enough money, I can solve my problem. If I can just get a hold of that cash. And really and truly, that's what Asa did. He drained his treasury. Drained his treasury, drained the house of God of all the treasures that were there. Sent them to a heathen king with the idea I can buy help. And I can get help quicker buying it than I can if I ask God for it. Let's just buy it. Now listen, folks. You say, preacher, I'd never do that. I hope you never would, but boy, I've seen so many of God's people do it. I've seen them make that same mistake that Asa made to think, I'll go to some man to help me. I'll go to man to help me. Young people do it. They get themselves in a bind. They have a problem. And what they really should do is do what God says and go to parents and spill out the truth and say, here's the problem and here's what's going on and I need your help. But instead, they turn to friends and co-buddies and say, I need your help to do this and I got to get around this situation. Oh, listen, how much you and I as God's people need to learn to go to God. Not go to man, not try to figure out I can buy my way. And if I can come up with enough cash, I'll be all right. No, you won't. No, you won't. Look, just understand this fact. Here, God had firmly blessed Asa. Gave him a long reign. Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord his God. But he didn't go to God, he went to man. When he ran into a problem, when you run into that, you have trouble. But wait a minute. If that was all that it was, might have been okay. All right, you've hurt yourself, you've hurt your nation, but you get away with it. But here's the problem. Unbelief tends to harden the heart. It doesn't stop at one instant. You need to turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here we hear again of Asa. Same fella. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verse 7, would you? And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have war. Hey, God sent a seer, that's a prophet, to speak to Asa and rebuke him. Point out his sin. Said, this what you did, and what you did was wrong. So, of course, Asa got right. Look at verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Isn't it amazing what happened? Now, wait a minute. Can we just back up a little bit? This is the man whose heart was perfect with the Lord his God. This wasn't the common, everyday, ordinary, half-in, half-out believer. This is someone who the Bible said his heart was perfect with the Lord. So he sinned. Now, you and I both know you're susceptible to sin at any time. Anytime, all of us are. All of us are. Nobody immune from that. So God sent the prophet to Asa to rebuke him. But you got to understand, when we're wrong, it's not necessarily our first desire to get right. Instead, somebody comes and rebukes us, and what we do, we get mad. That's what Asa did. You ever done that? Now, don't raise your hand. I mean, here we are, been rebuked. Look, we're human beings, okay? We're human beings. You know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to get defensive. And we say, but wait a minute now, you don't understand. And we start defending what we did that was wrong. We get upset, we get mad about it, and we wind up like Asa. He didn't take rebuke very well, did he? Oftentimes we don't. I'd like to tell you that, boy, when I've been rebuked, I've always said, you're right, Lord. I'll tell you what, every time I believe I've been rebuked, I would feel it welling up inside me to defend my action. Wait a minute. You can't tell God he doesn't understand, all right? He's got your number. So instead of getting right, man, he went further wrong. He just went further, went in the wrong way. A little success in unbelief will not make you a stronger believer, okay? Once you get it there, rather it weakens you. It leads you to stubbornness. It leads you into following your own will rather than the will of God. That's exactly what Asa did. He got mad about it, put that prophet in prison, said, I'll fix you, you know. That's the thing to do. Kill the messenger. Punish him. God sent him. Hey, people do that all the time in church. When the preacher preaches the word of God and sinners are rebuked, they get mad and go out the door and say, ain't never coming back. Because the preacher told them the truth. Well, don't take that approach, okay? Don't allow that to happen to you. Man, he was rebuked, and he just got mad. The Bible said he was in a rage because of that thing. But it doesn't end there. Would you look at verse 12? 2 Chronicles 16. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Here's the sad part. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. He suffered. He suffered. You know, here it is. He's been rebuked for his sin. He's been pointed out where he's wrong, and he knows it. He knows. But he didn't get right. He got mad. And now he begins to have physical problems. But he didn't seek the Lord. You know, sometimes God does a lot for you and to you to bring you back to him. How foolish we are. And how bad a shape we're in when you'd rather continue in resisting the Lord rather than seeking his help. He said, I'd never do it. Asa didn't think he would have either, I don't believe. But he did. He did that. Look, very simply tonight, I told you a very simple message. We run into circumstances. We run into problems. We run into conditions. And they seem to be very immense. And you and I, we may be tempted by our troubles at some point in life to take what seems to be the easy way out. This is the simple way. This will be the shortcut to get what I want and what I need. But buddy, if that shortcut crosses paths with the will of God, it's not a shortcut. And it's going to cost you a lot more than it pays. And you and I need to look for it. We need to say, I'm not doing that, because it'll always lead to more circumstances. It'll always lead to more conditions that are going to lead you further astray from God. Further astray. Oh man, God help us that we might look to the author and finisher of our faith, that He could carry us through the circumstances. If He couldn't carry us through, then He can take us around them, around those conditions. If He can't go through it or around it, well, He can take us over the trouble, all right? But it's time to turn to Him. Oh, don't go looking in the wrong place. He's promised He'll make a way. He's promised He'll make a way. All I'm pleading with you tonight is look for that way. Look for that way. Look to God. Go to Him. Go to Him. Consult with Him. Lord, I need your help. Vain is the help of man. It's usually, man doesn't have the answer, but God does. Now, I'm not saying if you have an illness that it's wrong for you to seek medical help, but God help you, pray before you go. I don't know, I've told the doctors before, there's been situations where I've said, hey doc, I trust you. I'm here because I think you know what you're doing. I want to say I hope you know what you're doing. But I'm here because I think you do. But I want you to know I'm trusting God to get me through this. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Matter of fact, I think that's a little bit of wisdom. Hey, but it may not be physical situations. It may be financial. It may be personal problems. And I'm saying to you, when you run into them, don't do as Asa did. Don't go looking for God, for the help of man. Don't depart from God's will. Don't go against the will of God. Don't look for that easy way, what seems to be the easy, the quick way. You go to God. Let Him help you. Let Him guide you. Let Him take you through the problem and get you through that circumstance. Get you over that hill, if you will. He can do it. Just look for the way that He makes. Our Heavenly Father, would You help us tonight?